Over 5 years ago, I tweeted you. I then slid smoothly into your DMs. You did my podcast. I nervously asked you out to lunch 6 months later. You then one-upped me and invited me on your radio show. And I just looked today, 5 years ago to the day is when you did my podcast and the first time we ever talked. Welcome to the show. Number 21, known for the shot heard around the bluegrass, Kentucky great, Cameron Mills. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, buddy. Has it really been 5 years today?
I actually looked today.
That's why we're doing this.
5 years ago to the day you did my podcast.
That's cool. I did not realize that.
Now we have
I can tell you where I was when I did it.
Tell me where you
489
were.
489 Stone Creek, Lexington, Kentucky, 40513. Actually, 40503. Back in my bedroom. I think I was laying down most of the time, which is weird because most of the time when I'm on the phone, I have to pace, especially when I'm answering well-thought-out questions.
And the best part of that
yeah.
is this, is that you did my show and you basically interviewed me. You're like, wait, before you ask me, let me talk to you. Mm-hmm. How'd you become a Kentucky yeah. fan? So you interviewed me.
There's no reason that in New York, there's no reason that someone who is up here in New York with no connections to Kentucky should just become a UK fan. Unless you like being on a winning team, let's clarify. So there's just no reason. So I needed to find out how that happened. And I've had you tell it on my show. It's an awesome story. I love that story.
Well, now let's talk about the Kentucky connection because I have two people sitting here in my studio
yes.
apartment
yes.
who's doing the show with me, the vice president of the Kentucky Alumni Association, Jen Stevenson.
Hello, hello.
And then obviously, we don't know what he really does, but he's the focal point, yes. the main attraction yes. of everything. He's been my co-host on many shows.
Oh.
What's going on, Simba?
What's up, guys? Honored to be here again.
So now, Cam, before we do anything,
yes.
you handed out DVDs about your documentary, The Team. So tell us about The Team.
All right. So this past year was 20th anniversary of the 96 championship team at UK, at University of Kentucky, for those unaffiliated. We start getting these emails from Coach Pitino and his staff who are putting on our reunion in Miami Beach. And someone had approached Louisville or approached Coach Pitino and said they wanted to cover the reunion because we all 14 of us were going. It was just us. It was us and Coach Pitino. That was it. That was all that was going. And a media outlet wanted to cover it. So they asked permission. Coach said he was fine with it. Wanted to make sure we were all fine with it. We all were. And then 3 days later, we get another email saying, you know what, that fell through. And in those 3 days, I'd sat there thinking, somebody should be covering this. But I think we were told it was a radio outlet. And that didn't make a lot of sense to me. It turned out it was a radio TV outlet. And I thought, somebody needs to cover this. And then realized, oh, it's 20 years. I love documentaries. You and I have had this conversation many times.
Well, you bought me actually.
I bought you. That's right.
Thanks. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What was it called? Do you remember?
Curiosity Stream.
Curiosity Stream. Yeah, that's right.
The first gift you ever got me.
Do you count the gifts I give you?
The only gift you ever got me.
That's not true. I handed you a copy of The Team tonight.
Yes,
sir. So I'm sitting there. I love documentaries, and I've bothered Dick Gabriel, who's done probably six different University of Kentucky documentaries. One on Coach Rupp. Three or four others that I just can't think of right now, but he went on Coach Gillespie, I believe, and I always bug him, kind of jokingly, but it's one of those things where you joke, but you're also serious because you're serious about what you're joking about. I asked him, I said, I want to narrate one of your documentaries, and he always, yeah, we can do that something, but it never happened. And so in those 3 days, I just thought, somebody needs to document this reunion. It's been 20 years, and I just thought, well, why can't I not do it? But why can't I organize it and get the guys who will do a great job, which was Dick Gabriel, Jason Epperson, who did the movie The Sixth Man, Blue Sanity, about BB and about UK fans. So you've got Jason, who's a phenomenal filmmaker, Dick, who's a phenomenal storyteller and who knows UK history and lore better than just about anybody, with the exception of maybe Scott Padgett, my former teammate. The smartest thing I did was emailed Coach Pitino and said, can I bring some media being me, and it's very safe. This is not going to be a contentious, documentary. We're not trying to break a story. We're just going to tell the story of what happened, why we were able to become what some people call, and I think a lot of us on the team, biasly called the greatest college basketball team ever. And so that's what we did. I took three cameras, three cameramen, three boom mics. Dick interviewed everybody, and we came home and Dick edited into a 65-minute documentary and 45 minutes on air and then 65 minutes on DVD and Vimeo.
20 years since you guys all saw each other.
Yeah. Well, that in that way, yes. All 14 of us, we hadn't been together that large a number of us since 96 championship.
Was there one moment that you guys said, like, always talked about, like, hey, remember that one moment? Was there, like, one point, like, hey, remember this? When we all, and you guys all went?
No, there wasn't one moment. There were 100 moments like that.
There wasn't one special moment that everyone talked about, like, hey, no, remember when we all did this?
You know what? Well, okay, there's always, we always tell the stories about going bowling. Because we, that, like, Friday night, you know, Saturday night, when you could get in trouble as a team, right? And we would all always go do something, all of us. We would go to a movie. We would go bowling. And that the bowling is what comes up all the time because that's what we always did. Monday nights and I guess Thursday nights when WWE and Monday Night Raw were on or whatever, you know, the two competing wrestling entities back in those days. That's what we do. We'd pile into Scott Padgett and Jeff Shepard's room, almost the entire team, and watch wrestling until invariably somebody would get body slammed and we'd have to, all right, let's take a break here, guys.
Now,
so all those, but those stories, that's what the reunion was so special because we spent 3 days laughing about things that weren't that funny 20 years ago. They were serious 20 years ago. We were getting yelled at. We were getting, you know, you've got all those stories about so-and-so doing something stupid and getting yelled at, like me, you know, asking on Christmas Day after practice number one. I won't get into all of it, but basically I was dumb enough, naive enough, and a freshman enough to go up to Coach Pitino after I was done with what I needed to do, say, can we go home? Got reamed, cussed out, we came back and practiced that afternoon. So that wasn't funny then, but it's hilarious now. So those kind of stories come
up. What we're going to do, we're going to do a little Kentucky talk.
All right.
But I know you're always pigeonholed into the whole Kentucky.
Yeah.
Obviously, you should be. But a few other questions, because you mentioned WWE,
yeah.
WWF Raw. Can you please tell everyone, especially Simber and Jen and Julia, the WWF story when you guys went to the Final Four? Because this story is awesome. And you told me this at I gave you a tour last time you were up here, and you told me this story.
All right. So Scott Padgett is the one that got us all into wrestling because he – here's what Scott Padgett knows. Scott is brilliant, okay, and which is funny considering. And he'll tell he knows it. He effectively flunked out of UK his freshman year, not because he wasn't trying, but because he wasn't going to class. He, I mean, it was almost like he really did
that whole class thing.
It's really hard to flunk out your first year.
Well, it is because it's all 101s and 102s, right?
Right.
So, but he wasn't. I think he genuinely, because he and I were roommates, and I think he genuinely thought, I'm a UK basketball player. I don't have to go to class. Even though we'd been told very specifically, no, you go to class. But he just wasn't getting done. He flunked out. But he came back the next year. Well, it was the 96 season. He was actually technically not on the team. His freshman year he finished. But then he was gone the next year and came back. But Scott's the one. What he knows, he's brilliant. That the reason talking about his grades, because he's so smart. He knows more obscure facts about Kentucky basketball from the 40s, 50s, 60s. And knows more obscure regional wrestlers than anybody I know. I mean, he will randomly, like, we'll be talking about something that'll have to do with New Mexico, and he'll bring up some Albuquerque wrestler from 1981, and that no one's ever heard of. I mean, it's absurd. So Scott got
that masked man from Boise.
Natural Libre.
So Scott got us into it, and my senior year, so in 98, Jeff Shepard and Scott were roommates. And they went out as the school year started and bought, I imagine what at the time was probably the biggest television set you could buy. You know, the big box TVs, mm-hmm. right, before we had the flat screens. And they brought it home on Chef's truck. They wheeled it into the room, and that was the hangout room instantly. That was where, okay, so Monday night, Thursday night, I think I've got those days correct, is when.
Yeah, Raw and SmackDown.
Okay, all right, perfect. So. Monday night, Thursday night, we had a team date, effectively. And as many guys that could would pile in there, and they had beds, they had sofas, and we'd just pile in there, and we'd just watch, and we'd scream, and we'd go nuts. And it's kind of just a way of kind of decompressing after getting yelled at all day. So what happened is that we got either Raw or I guess it was – which was the Monday night one? Was that
Monday night Raw.
Monday night, is that WWE or F?
Well, it was all WWE.
Well, no, it was F at that point.
Yeah, there were two different ones at one point. Now they're okay. So
Okay. Whatever
the Monday night one was coming to Louisville, was coming to Freedom Hall.
Okay.
Jeff Shepard, Scott Padgett, and I, and a couple of the managers got tickets. Now, it just so happened to be that Monday night was the Monday after the Duke game. We, of course, didn't know that when we bought the tickets.
Did anything happen special in that Duke game?
Yeah, we won. Yeah, came back 17. Yeah, we won. Okay. And honestly, if we hadn't won, I'm not sure we would have gone. But we did win. And Scott and I, Jeff didn't go for some reason. I think Stacy, his
because fiance at the time. He didn't hit the shot, that's why.
Well, it could be. But I think it's more his fiance who kind of pulled back on the collar a little bit. And he couldn't go. So two managers, Scott Padge and I went. We had terrible seats, upper level, Freedom Hall. But we didn't care. We were happy to be there. We just beat Duke. We're going to the Final Four. We're in a good mood. Front row, literally by the ring, the front row, where you've got a good chance of getting hit by a table or a chair by thrown by one of the wrestlers.
Sure.
As we walk in, this really amazed me, because we walked into Freedom Hall. Everybody's there to see wrestling. We are instantly recognized. And I don't know what Freedom Hall sits for a wrestling. It's got to be 15,000, 16,000, maybe more. They're all looking at us. We get a standing ovation as we walk in to take our very bad seats. And there are seven or eight guys in the front row who start trying to get our attention. And effectively what they are doing and what they did is they traded seats with us. Because we had beaten Duke, because we were going to the Final Four, they wanted to give their seats to us on the front row, and they were going to come take our bad seats. And we were like, no. And they were insistent. Like, it got to the point where we started to feel bad that we were turning them down, because they were so desperate to be kind to us. And so we took them up. We go down. We're front row. Goldberg, Savage, Rowdy Piper made an appearance, which I didn't think he wrestled anymore. The bagpipes coming. Here comes Piper. At one point, they put us on TV. They give us a lower third, which, as a documentarian now, I know what a lower third is. It's the
Big Time.
Yeah, it's the title down at the bottom of the screen when someone's on. So they gave us a lower third of I don't know what they said, Kentucky basketball players. So they didn't give us our name, but they gave us our Kentucky basketball players, or UK, whatever. So that all happened, right? It was an awesome night. We had a blast. 3 days later, we fly down to San Antonio for the Final Four, and we both, that had to be WWE, because the WWF sent us packages.
That was WWC.
C, yes, that's right.
WWC, because they had the NWO at that time.
That's right. Yes, that's exactly right. Okay, so WWC, which was that Turner's? Was that Ted Turner's?
Guys, it's WCW.
Yeah, WCW. I'm sorry.
Anyway, WWC's, who cares? Let's get the story. Yeah, WCW, yeah, go ahead.
WWF, though, is also World Wildlife Fund. For those not
that's together. Why they're WWE now.
There you go. So, yeah, trademark. That's exactly right, Jim.
This is too many W's.
Anyway, so the point is, so we get to our hotel in San Antonio, and WWF has sent Scott Padgett and I care packages. The coolest thing, and I say this somewhat hesitantly, but the Austin 316 was going on. They sent us Kentucky 316 shirts. And which, obviously, it's taken from John 3:16, which the whole thing was somewhat
sure
sacrilegious but it wasn't that big deal to me. But I'll tell you, when we won the championship, I decided that was the shirt I was wearing home.
Okay.
So when we got off the plane at Bluegrass Airfield in Lexington with 14,000 fans there to receive us as national champions, I get off the plane wearing that shirt. I don't think anything of it until 2 weeks later. I get a few angry, not angry, to be fair to them. They were just disappointed letters from fans who, thought that, I was being disrespectful to my faith and their faith by wearing that shirt. But it was a fun few weeks of just being big time is what it felt like. Because when you get a package from the WWF that says Kentucky 316, and they even sent a little note with that said something funny and cute about wrestling. I don't know what it was, but it was cool.
Now, I'm going to ask you two more questions about the 96 and your career in Kentucky. Okay. And we're going to get back to it at the end.
All right.
Your four roommates, you were there 4 years. Who are your roommates year one?
All right. Scott Padgett was freshman year.
Okay.
Oliver Simmons was sophomore year. Mm-hmm. So 95, 96. I went because I was the 14th or 15th guy. 1 year I didn't have a roommate. I'll tell you what it was. I was Oliver's roommate, but Oliver transferred midway through that season.
Sure, of course. Okay.
So he transfers to Florida State. So I go without a roommate for a while. 96, 97, Frank Vogel, who's now the head coach of the Orlando Magic, mm-hmm. was my roommate. And then 97, 98, Steve Masiello, who's the head coach of Manhattan College, was my roommate.
Wait, I have a question. Best roommate during that time period?
I'd probably go Padgett or Masiello. because Padgett and I had a lot in common. Masiello and I had nothing in common. And but because of that, it's the same way I describe our relationship. You and I have Kentucky basketball. Really, is the only thing we have in common.
You're talking about me, Cam, because there's four people here. So
I'm
yes.
sorry. I'm sorry. Yes, I realize it's not on television. Julia stopped recording. So you grew up in New York. I grew up. What did I say to you the other day? City mouse, country mouse. I grew up in Kentucky. You know, we have very little in common, but we're close as we could be. And that's what happened with Masiello and I. It's just we just loved each other. So
what we're gonna do now is we're gonna do non Kentucky talk.
Okay.
For a few minutes, and then whenever Jen and Simba want to come in, let me know.
Fair enough.
Last time you were here, first of all, congratulations. It's been 16 minutes, and you haven't said New Yorker, because that's kind of what you're known for. Every time I meet you, you said...
I'm known for saying New Yorker?
Well, that's all you say is, Mike's here, the New Yorker. That's all you ever say when you come here.
That's how y'all talk up here, isn't it?
My favorite story is when Cam was here at Christmas time during SantaCon.
during SantaCon. Tell Jen.
This last year, a few months ago?
Yeah, you got to tell that story when you're here.
Jen, what happened
at SantaCon? You came versus Hofstra.
Yes.
SantaCon weekend.
Right.
SantaCon pup crawl.
Well, explain to everyone what SantaCon is, because I didn't know, and they may not know.
Everybody gets dressed up as Santa Claus.
Not everybody.
Or as elves.
Mm-hmm. The crazy ones dress up as Santa.
Everybody.
And what did you tell me? Apparently, because I've talked to some police officers, apparently it is the most annoying day for New York police officers, because they're effectively breaking
up fights
all day.
For New Yorkers in general.
Right, but they're effectively breaking up fights all day, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, go ahead.
So, SantaCon.
Yes.
Cam, what happened during SantaCon?
I had not been feeling well for 2 days. Okay. Mike, being Mike, doesn't care.
Of course, we
don't get to spend a lot of time together. So, when I'm here, he's down there. You know, you suck it up and you do it. And I was going to suck it up anyway, but he's not being very graceful with me about it. Yeah. So, he takes me down because he'd been talking about this one place down in, where was it, Mike? Where we went to the 1st Street or 2nd Street?
Well, Chinatown. We went to Chinatown for noodles. Lamzu. Lamzao.
Yeah. A little hole in the wall, which those are always the best. And we got noodles and dumplings, and it was fantastic. But about midway through the meal, I started feeling a little queasy.
Right.
Pouring sweat like you've never seen a man pour sweat before.
I'm like.
Wasn't the dumplings.
No, I don't know what it was. But it was not. I did not feel good. And so I'm like, you ready? We need to go. Now, Mike being Mike, of course, we're going to take the subway. And I'm like, no, we're not taking the subway.
No.
We're calling Uber. We're calling a cab.
I said, we're not calling Uber.
So we're arguing. We're arguing over pieces of, come on, Cam. We're in New York. There we go. We're in New York. So we're going to take train. I said, Mike, I can't get on train right now, but let's take a cab or Uber or something. I'll pay for it. No worries. We get a cab, and we're in the cab, Mike, maybe 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I leaned over to him. I said, dude, I'm getting ready to throw up. And Mike now... Again, not concerned
about we're 5 blocks away.
No, two blocks. Yeah. Everything's 2 blocks in New York. Mike, not being the least bit concerned about me, now apparently concerned about the fine he or I might incur for puking in a cab in New York City.
Well, the cab was going to charge
it's
you.
It's fine. Yeah, all right.
It's like $150.
There you go. So Mike's now...
Believe me, Simba knows. Simba's a recidivist.
Yes, yeah. Mike's worried about losing the $150. So I tell him I'm sick, and Mike goes, dude, get out of the car. Mm-hmm. All right. So the guy pulls over. I get out of the car and literally go up to put my forehead against the wall of a Rite Aid and just lose it.
Oh.
And it would have been – listen, the whole thing would have been fine. I told Mike this was a fantastic experience. I mean, it was terrible when it happened. But, again, you look back and what a great experience.
It's a fantastic experience.
I threw up on SantaCon in New York City.
And you weren't even dressed up as Santa Claus.
Exactly. And that's what got annoying, because now I'm not dressed up as Santa Claus. I'm not even doing the, you know, because some of them do the fake attempt where they put on a Santa hat and they think that counts, and it doesn't. I'm puking my guts out, and I hear people walking behind me, okay, as I'm throwing up, saying, well, he had a great SantaCon, didn't he? And three or four people did that. And I'm throwing up. I feel bad. And now I'm mad because I am not participating in this thing called SantaCon. I have nothing to do with this whatsoever. I've been poisoned by Mike.
Never trust Mike.
Besides Kentucky basketball, whatever, what other passions do you have?
Okay, so the biggest thing in my life is my faith. Mm-hmm. I kind of alluded to that earlier. Since I was 7 years old, the biggest thing in my life has been my relationship with Jesus Christ. I spent 20 years telling other people about it. I mean, my job, I'm in ministry. I travel around the state, the region, and in some instances the country, and preach at churches and basketball stuff and just talk about my relationship with Jesus Christ. So that I wouldn't call it a hobby, but I would call it something that's very important. In, I want to say 2004 or 5 or something, I went on a mission trip to Dominican Republic with a little 3.1 megapixel camera and wound up just accidentally having a moment with a little girl living in complete poverty. In her backyard, I was on the other side of effectively, well, not effectively, but what was a barbed wire fence. And we had just visited this little girl's house. And it's, again, it's a shack. It's not a house. And her mom. Now, this woman had 7 or 8 kids all under the age of 12, including what looked to be like a 3-month-old newborn. And so it's not an ideal living situation. There's no man. There's no steady income by either her. She sometimes gets employment. It's just a bad situation. And then we were there to see it and to talk to them about it. And, you know, I was there with Compassion International, so we were, you know, doing what we could to help out. We left the house and I walked around the back of the village, which was where their backyard was. And this little girl, who's maybe the second or third oldest one, came out and she's just standing by the fence and barbed wire. It's a barbed wire fence. I mean, her hands are on a barbed wire fence and she's just staring at me. And the wind was kind of blowing her hair back, and I immediately thought, oh, this is a photograph. So I grabbed my little puny camera. 3.1 megapixels is nothing, but that's all we had back in 2004. And snapped as many pictures as I could, because I wasn't into photography then. And I got one that, more than anything else, and I've been out of the country 7 or 8 times on mission trips and various trips, more than anything else, this picture of this little girl, it truly did speak 1,000 words to me. Because I also had the memory of that moment. And so that got me into photography is the whole point of the story. And so because what made me mad is I had this awesome picture of this girl, but the camera, only 3.1 megapixels, you can't really make a great print of that. And I like nowadays when I have what I think is a great photograph, I like to make big prints or big posters and do metal prints and put them up on my house. I can't do that with that picture because it was so few megapixels.
So it's special to you.
Yeah. It was also frustrating to me. So what I did is I decided I will never go overseas again and not have the proper equipment that I need to get the memories that I want. And now I'm to the point where I'll go on a trip and I'll spend the entire trip behind the camera and just trying to find those moments. And the problem there is then I don't have the moments myself. So it's not the shared thing that I have with that little girl.
I get the same thing. So when I'm traveling, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I'm taking pictures of all these landmarks and stuff. Now back to 96, you were down there on the reunion. You were there as a friend, as a teammate.
Right.
Were you also like, F, I missed out because I'm taking all the pictures of the team. Were you?
Well, no, because I didn't have to do that. And that's one of the benefits of hiring two other people who knew how to create a documentary and knew how to create a film or a movie they did all that. You know, what I basically did is provided access for Dick and Epperson to get to the guys. And then as executive producer, I effectively financed it. So I had control over it, but I didn't have to do a whole lot other than honestly get in their way, and that's what I did. I mean, Dick spent 3 solid weeks, almost 24/7, editing this thing to get it done by deadline. And I would go in, and he would show me his edits, and I would want to make some changes, some of which we did make, but most of which he would just politely smile and say, okay, and then they were never changed because he was like, no, this is what we're going to do, so... I was there very much as a teammate that entire trip.
All right, I'm going to ask you random Cameron Mills questions.
All right.
Cameron Mills growing up, celebrity crush growing up.
Celebrity crush?
Growing up.
Oh, still the same person now, Jennifer Aniston.
Well, you ruined the...
Mr. Studio Girl!
You know, Cam, you could probably run into her in New York. She lives here.
Yeah. And you know she dated Vince Vaughn, and a lot of people think I look like him
you
and act
do
like him.
You look like Vince
Thank
Vaughn.
Thank you very much,
dude.
And they dated, so that means I've got a chance.
You have a chance.
A chance, yeah.
Wait, they dated in the movie or in real life?
Hmm?
The breakup
in real life?
Oh yeah, they dated in real life.
Oh yeah.
Life's right. Not a movie, Simba.
Sometimes I think it is.
Yeah. I know.
Five years ago today, I asked you who was the coolest person in your phone.
Yep.
And your answer 5 years ago was Billy Donovan.
Billy Donovan, that's right.
And I think that's a good answer. Yeah. He's coaching.
At least it wasn't Billy Gillespie.
Well, he was on TV a few months ago. No, it wasn't. I never had Billy Gillespie's phone number.
Now, you went back to the reunion.
Yep.
You've hung out with me, so you've hung out with cool people.
Right.
And me.
Right. Obviously, Jen Stevenson wins always.
Yes.
But right now, who's the coolest person in Cameron Mills' phone that you want to impress everybody with?
Well, I don't know that it's going to impress
Well, I'm not in his phone, so obviously it's not going to be cooler than me.
How do you know you're not in my phone?
I actually didn't know that.
All right, here we go. Contacts.
Watch out.
Well, Steve Masiello pops up immediately because that's because we texted him earlier. He still hadn't responded back, though.
Okay.
Right.
Oh.
I'm just following through because, look, cause I honestly have no idea. I would bet Coach Donovan might still be in here, though I imagine he's changed.
In
5 years, you haven't got anyone cooler?
I don't know. That's what I'm looking at.
You've really regressed.
Again, I wasn't expecting this question again. I mean, you're effectively duplicating an interview you did 5 years ago. This is lazy journalism is what it is.
Plug in and introduce some fresh, energetic.
Yes, go for it, Simba.
Journalistic.
Introduce some good stuff.
Stuff. Okay, so my brother in high school played at West Jessamine.
Okay.
Where he was coached by your brother.
Yes, of course he was.
Okay. Now some people say your brother was actually better than you.
I want to ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They say he had more hops.
Yeah.
They say you were a better shooter.
That's not even debatable. No, I was a better shooter. Yeah. No, you got it exactly right. You were better shooter. You got it dead on. Collier was the better player by the time his career was over, which neither of us played professional, though Collier had the chance to.
Yes, he did.
My career ended after my last game in college. So did his, effectively. He was by far and away a better player. I mean, he was 6'9", handled the ball like a point guard, could shoot threes, couldn't make them the way I can make them because that's all I could do. And when you can only do one thing, that's really all you practice. So you become better and better and better at that one. It's the Dennis Rodman thing, rebounding. He could do one thing, defense and rebounding. I guess that's two. But really, rebounding is what he was famous for. And so he just got better and better and better at rebounding. So Collier had the full scope of basketball abilities. He was in AIA. He went to a small school because he went through a growing stage in college. So he didn't get highly recruited. But he went through... He went to Transylvania University, which is NAIA, and his senior year, he was NAIA Player of the Year. And that's like NCAA. It's much, much smaller, but it's a national.
Who used to win 101?
Huh?
101.
Oh, he would.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
See, I would never admit that.
Close.
You're a bigger man than I am, Cam.
Well, listen.
See, my brother, I would push him.
Well, listen, and he and I never really struggled with the sibling rivalry thing, I don't think. I don't think we did. And this is not even debatable whether he was better than me. He was better than me. I think Dad might even say this because Dad played college basketball at Kentucky. I think he might be better than Dad because Dad was 6'2", Collier was 6'9". When Dad's career was over, when Collier's career was over, he got a letter communication from the Denver Nuggets wanting him to play on their summer league team this upcoming year, and then all these national teams or international teams calling wanting him to try out. So he goes to Italy for 2 weeks. Plays fantastic, drops his last day there, drops 37 points on Italian national team, gets offers galore, comes home, gets off the plane, and tells me and Dad that, I don't want to live in Italy. And I was furious because I'd already planned it. I was going to be his butler. I'll cook, I'll clean, I'll drive. I will be your personal
assistant. Setting goals so high.
Let's just go live in Italy for a couple of years. You make some money, I'll get the experience of living in Italy. And he was like, no, I don't want to do it. So he came home and he went to, the summer league for Denver, first day of practice, broke his foot and came home with a big smile on his face because he was done. He was emotionally done with basketball, and he was going to pursue a professional career out of necessity in the sense that you have to pursue a professional career. If you got a chance to make money playing a game, you have to try to do that. So
I'm going to revisit the original question I've always asked you.
Okay.
You had a full scholarship to be a Bulldog at Georgia.
Yep.
Obviously, you're Kentucky
mm-hmm.
lore.
Mm-hmm.
Any regret, 1% full ride Georgia playing down?
Not even close.
None?
No. Look, my parents might, because they're the ones that effectively had to pay for my first 2 years of education. But I doubt they even have the regret. I mean, look, not only did I get – if I had spent 4 years – I remember telling Coach Pitino this because when we had our first meeting where he said, let's talk. I mean, you want to walk on, I will let you walk on, but let's talk. So we met I think it's probably the fall of my senior year in high school. And he says, look, don't you want to go somewhere where you know you're going to get some playing time? Where you, because Cameron, you're probably not ever going to get significant minutes here. And I remember saying, Coach, that's fine. Listen, I want my career at this point, I just want to be a Wildcat. I want to wear the same number my dad wore. I want to play for Kentucky. If I spend 4 years on the bench, then I'm okay with that. I will leave here with no regrets. Well, I far surpassed that. I mean, by my, you know, my junior year and senior year, I was never the star. I was never the starter, but I was in the game when it mattered. I wasn't getting the, you know, human victory cigar minutes at the end of a game when we're up 30. And I got 2 national championships out of it. I mean,
did you hit a famous shot, Cam?
I did. Yes, I did hit. I did hit a what?
Can you tell us who that was against?
It was against Duke. Uh huh.
Thank you.
And I will say this though, Jen. If you watch that game, a teammate of mine, a roommate of mine, Scott Padgett. Sorry, shut up. It's true. You know this is true.
You're too nice of. I have to say, you're too nice of a guy. I know.
Let him tell the story, Mike.
This is Mike. Yeah, Mike.
Come on, man.
All right, so. You know this story time. Here's why my shot was important. Okay, two reasons. Number one, it capped our comeback. Okay, we were down 17, 9.5 minutes left. Wayne, Ishimu, Shep, Scott, Nazi, they get us back to within 2. I make the shot that gives us the lead.
Your first basket of the tournament.
First basket of the tournament. It was important for me for that reason too. Number two. A Sports Illustrated photographer just happened to catch the shot from a camera he had stuck up in the rafters at the Tropicana Fieldhouse in St. Petersburg, Florida. It's got all 10 players. It's got all 3 rows of media in there. You can see Coach Smith's hand, one of his arms, like half of his arm stuck up as he's, you know, holding up the sign for 3. And the pictures become, honestly, more iconic than the shot ever was, because the shot, it was, I understand it was important. It gave us the lead, but the very next possession, Duke took the lead back from us.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for Scott Padgett hitting another 3, we don't win. And my shot's pointless and useless and no one remembers it. So I benefited from a fantastic marketing scheme, in the state of Kentucky with that shot. So
that is so humble. You can see the Christian in the man right here. You know, like, here's the thing. The first time I actually, like, actually, I'd heard of Cam from my high school friends who idolized the 96, 97, 98 era.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were, like, young kids at that point.
Right. And that was, I say, not necessarily because of me, that was a pretty incredible era. I mean, that's 3 years of national championship games.
So, you know, what was weird to me was when I moved from, like, Zimbabwe to America, and then I like just run into like the people who are my age in mm-hmm. Kentucky.
Right.
In 2000, actually, was like my introduction of like really Kentucky basketball. When that December 2000-2001 was the first year Coach Patino was coming back to Rupp Arena playing mm-hmm. against UK.
Okay.
And it was like a big moment.
Yeah.
Like,
because do you remember everyone was talking about which tunnel would he walk out of? When he walked out of the tunnel,
I had no idea. See, here's the thing. I had no idea because I was like, I was just kind of like,
you're from Zimbabwe.
Yeah, I'm from Zimbabwe at that point. I was trying to figure this whole thing out. Why are all these people like so crazy about it? I'm like, these people are. My initial thought was like, white people like need to get alive.
Yeah, what is it with white people?
I'm like,
I agree. I'm with you,
we're dying over there in Africa, and these people are like worried about this. And then the more I just like got ingrained mm-hmm. and like,
you became a white person.
Here's what I love the most about like Kentuckians is that the people that they idolize the most from those teams, were like the guys from Kentucky.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And here's the thing. Right. But like, we can't live on Kentucky boys alone.
Let's put it that way. That is true.
Yeah, we can't because the
but there's an appreciation.
It absolutely is. And it's, I think the reason they want more Kentucky guys is because they think we, and I think rightfully so, have a greater appreciation for being on that team than the other guys. Because, look, the other guys, it's not that they don't like being in Kentucky. They do. And it's not that they don't get it. They don't learn what you learned, you know, the first year you went through it. But they're not at Kentucky because they love Kentucky. They're at Kentucky because it's the quickest way to their dreams. That's fine. I've got no problem with that at all. But then you've got guys like Dominic Hawkins and Derek Willis and Jared Paulson and John Hood and myself and Scott Padgett. And I'll even throw Jeff Shepard in there because he came to Kentucky because even though he grew up in Georgia, he's a Kentucky boy. I mean, he wanted to be at Kentucky. He didn't necessarily come for Coach P. He came because he was a Wildcat.
I'm going to have to – I love Pitino. I know I get a lot of – people give me crap about it.
Yeah.
Whatever. He came up in 92. When I became a fan.
Right.
He was my coach.
Right.
He got me a championship.
Yes, he did.
He left.
Yes.
And Tubby won, quote, unquote, his players, which right, he had right, complimented right. Tubby. Like, yeah. He won with players that wasn't his players.
That's the thing. He did. It's true. There's not a single guy on that 98 team that Tubby recruited. They were all Coach Pitino's players. But – for a first-year coach to come in and immediately get 15 guys, maybe 14, to buy in to the new coach's system, right? Because that's what you hear about all the time, this new coach. Well, is the system going to fit these new players? That sounds fantastic, by the way. Is the system going to fit, you know, the personnel that he has, right? That when you get a new coach at a team, is his system going to – and his system was different. He didn't press for 40 minutes. He didn't do black, white, red like we did. He didn't his defense – was more half court, maybe three quarter court at the most. It wasn't going to be run and done. It wasn't Pitino's Bombinos anymore. It was different. It was more of a slowdown game. And I don't think a lot of people liked that compared to the up and down pace that we played under Pitino. But think about what we went through. We'd had Coach Pitino essentially, I mean, what's what you said, Simba, and it's what you know. And 3 years, 2 years before Tubby got there, 2 years of national championship games, 96 championship, 97 national championship game. Yeah, right.
Which we should have won.
Well, of course we should. Simba, we should win every game. Now, Simba, you and I are gonna we're gonna go at it over this. Now, if Derek plays, Simba, who doesn't play?
Cameron Mills doesn't play. If Derek Anderson plays.
Derek was a two guard. Cameron was a two guard. When Derek got hurt, not that I was happy he got hurt because I wasn't, but when Derek got hurt, that's when I started getting my minutes. So when people come up and tell me, you know, we would have won the championship if Derek had played, I'm sitting there thinking, I guess you're saying we didn't win because I played. I mean, that's effectively what they're saying. And I do it in fun because they're right. Everybody's right. Derek, we would have been far better off with Derek in the game than me. I will add, however, I was the second leading scorer on the team in the tournament. So I wasn't hurting us. Anyway, so, but yeah, so Tubby came in and got us to buy into his system, which was different. The only thing we knew was Coach Pitino. Coach Pitino had gotten us to two straight national championship games. This guy's different, so can it be effective? And that's why we had some struggles early in that season. Mm-hmm. We lost our last game. The last game we effectively lost, or we did lose, to Ole Miss, Valentine's Day, 1998. We had our team meeting. We had our 6 a.m. practice started the next morning, and we didn't lose again. All because what effectively happened after that last loss is we kind of had Jeff Shepard, Alan Edwards, and I, the three captains and seniors, kind of got together and said, look, if we don't completely sell out to what this guy's throwing at us, we know we're not, because now you've got a house divided. We know we're going to fail. We're not going to fulfill our goals this year. If we buy into him, lock, stock, and barrel, 100%, all of us, that's the only way we have a chance. And if he does know what he's doing, and the only reason we questioned him is because it was different. If he does know what he's doing, then we got a chance. And as it happens, he did know what he was doing.
Now you have a Cameron Mills radio show.
I do.
Sunday night. Give Sunday a plug.
Night. Sunday night, 7 to 9. I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 different stations all over Kentucky, but you can get it on, we podcast it on iTunes and on Google Play. So it's just Cameron Mills Radio.
Thank you for showing off about all the affiliates. You do a lot of Kentucky stuff.
There's so many I can't keep track of them. Is that what you're making
fun of? Give me your three dream guests, non-Kentucky players. Okay. I want to know three people.
Cam, it's okay. You can leave me out of this one.
You're sitting next to one of them. So your two dream guests.
Two dream guests.
For real. Three dream guests that you want to sit across from you in that studio.
Can we settle on a number for this answer? Two or three?
Cameron, two or three, whatever you want to say, Cameron. Fuck. Just your three people you want to interview. I'll give my three if you want to give your three.
No, I definitely want to hear your three.
Anthony Bourdain.
I was going to go first, but go ahead.
I forget
it's your show.
Anthony Bourdain, number one.
Love that, absolutely.
Opie from Opie and Anthony is number two.
Yeah, see, when you say Opie, I think of Opie Taylor, but go ahead.
No.
Now, I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about.
Number three, Michael Rapaport. Just think he's the coolest dude in the game.
What he said, now, he's an actor, Michael is.
And he does a podcast.
Yes, no, I know, but he's an actor first. That's how, what we know of Michael Rapaport, because he's an actor, okay? What he did to LeVar Ball,
That was awesome.
That 3 minute excoriation. I sat there thinking, okay, I'm hoping he wrote this and memorized it as an actor, because he did not miss a beat. He hit every mark. He hit every moment, and it was 3 minutes of absolute fantasticness.
So gorgeous.
Oh, it was so good. Anyway, all right, so two or three that I would love to interview. We always joked at the beginning of this that we were going to start, like, one of our sticks of the show was every day, every show, we were going to say our guest list, and we were going to add, and calling in, very last will be George W. Bush. I don't know why. We just said, so I actually did reach out to his foundation at one point to try to fulfill that. Didn't hear back from anyone. Did you get a reply from anyone?
Of course not.
Yeah, what's the deal?
Let's go down there.
I didn't expect a reply from him, but he's got to have people, right? So anyway, I just even if it's no, you know, just an email back. So I'd throw him in there.
What question would you ask J-Dub?
Ooh.
G-Dub.
Who? Sorry.
George W.
Oh,
George W.
I guess. I'm sorry.
I would ask you personally.
I'll tell you what I'd ask him. And I don't know. I should ask him this on the air. But, you know, and Mike, you know this. Sometimes you get the cliche answer. Anytime something's being recorded, anytime it's live, anytime it's going out, you get them privately and they'll give you the real answer.
Sure.
And so I don't know how he would answer this. I don't know that his answer would be different, but I would ask him if he had any regrets about Iraq.
Oh, really? That's actually – how about you, Simba? Because you're very political, Simba. What would you ask him?
Yes. Well, here's why I love about, like, George W. Because at the time when he made the decisions that he made,
right,
I wasn't necessarily in agreement with, like, his political views or aligned with them.
Yeah.
But as I look back at them and, like, what grounded the man, I have more respect for him because of how grounded he is in his faith. Mm-hmm. And
I think what I like is he spends so much time with wounded warriors now.
Yes.
And people, like, that are effectively wounded because of the decisions he made. And I think he understands that and is very appreciative of that. So I like that he does that.
He's very – and you could tell, like, when you actually, like, look at, like –
yeah. There's a sincerity there.
Yeah, there's a certain sincerity to the man, like, in just how he carried himself. You know, but I would just like to ask him, like, what he thought about when, like, that dude threw a shoe at him.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, that was one of the crazy ones. Like, I was like, what?
He dodged that more athletically than I think I could.
Like,
I mean, that was pretty. I mean, he just kind of down and up, and that was quite a moment. So, all right, so George W.
Yes.
Golly, Mike, see, this is why I hate doing this with you, because your questions actually require some thought sometimes. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're stupid questions, but sometimes they require a lot of thought. I like your answer with Anthony Bourdain. I love Bourdain.
Absolutely love Bourdain. Okay,
no, I'm not stealing. No, I'm just telling you that I like your answer.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. I'll go the cooking route, though. Alton Brown. Do you know who Alton Brown is?
Of course I do.
All right.
He's horrible on his show. Thank you, Kevin. He'll be a great guest.
Which show? What are you talking about?
I love Alton Brown.
Are you kidding me?
All right. No one's going to bully
me. Which show are you talking about? Because you can't. Good Eats was one of the best cooking shows ever.
Horrible.
Good Eats. I've learned more about cooking by watching Good Eats. Every episode. I've seen every episode. I've learned more about cooking than any cookbook could ever teach me. Because he goes into the science of cooking.
1 a.m. scientist. 1 a.m. Cameron Mills is hungry. What is your go-to late-night snack?
Now, because I'm in a cutting phase, as we discussed earlier. I'm losing weight. You look great. Thank you. Cuties.
I'm sorry, what?
Cuties, little tangerines, halos. They go by
Clementines?
I think that's what they effectively are, but the brand name, depending on where you live in the United States, up here in New York, it might be Clementines. In the South, we call them halos or cuties. That's what it says on the back. Mine's grilled cheese.
I
have no idea.
That's probably what mine used to be. Something like that.
Yeah.
Or I'd order a late night pizza.
So 1:30 in the morning, Jen Stevenson comes home.
I'm asleep at 1:30 in the morning.
No, but that's the question, though.
Just say it was a random Friday night, Jen, and you're never out late.
Never.
But just in
case
you...
Gotta get my beauty sleep.
Of course, just in case you were... You'd have a grilled cheese at...
Grilled cheese, of course.
But Simba, what about you, Simba?
That means you would have to make the grilled cheese, though.
I'm making it.
Girl!
All right, I see. I see how this works.
Simba, 1:30 in the morning, what are you eating, Simba?
Simba doesn't even know what time it is.
You've got headphones on, man.
That's guys. The reason for the headphones.
Hold on, Simba. 1:30 in the morning. What are you eating?
1:30 in the morning. Oh my gosh, I'm like eating like whatever is open. Like I don't even get. I'm not as impressed. Like actually, like here's what I'll usually do. I'm walking over. I'll throw like a, you know, I'll throw a fat lip.
What?
In my way.
A what?
A what?
Fat dip, you know.
Oh, fat dip.
And I'm going to throw some grizzly in there on my way home.
Is that your way of saying Kodiak?
Yeah. Right. Well, here's the thing. Kentucky had like such a big influence in my life in more ways than one.
I'm sorry, you're blaming Kentucky for your snuff problem?
I'm just saying.
Your addiction? You're blaming Kentucky for your tobacco problem.
Damn.
Unbelievable.
Had I like grown up in like a freaking...
New York?
Yeah. For example, actually no, I was take that back because right. New York is like, New York is like full of fucking. It's, here's the thing.
I've heard that.
Ultimately, it's by choice. But anyways, we're talking about like
well,
the
of course
habits.
It right? is. Nobody's forcing you to do it.
We're talking about the habits. Okay, so like here's what I'll usually do. I'm usually going to think, what do I have at home? If I don't have anything at home, I'm just going to go and actually.
Simba will make some chicken wings.
Simba, what are you going to make, Simba? 1:30 in the morning. Crappers. Yeah. Come on, what are you
going to make? Come on, man.
The podcast is only 4 hours
right.
long.
There's like this amazing place.
Simba,
we're looking for food here, not a restaurant.
Yeah. You got to make
need the whole,
food.
We don't need the whole backstory. We just
Simba's
need
looking for promotion. Yeah, I love this restaurant.
Like, oh, Red Rooster's open until 3 a.m. I'm going to go there, get my fried chicken.
Go, Simba.
What do I want, like at 3 a.m.?
Oh, God.
Or 1:30 a.m.?
We're not with you at 3 a.m.
1:30. I'm getting some challah.
What?
Challah. A gyro.
Oh,
Cameron.
Thank you. All
right. Like some gyro, some good old, like, just like nasty street food, like in New York.
Yep, I get it.
As I'm New walking York. Home. Yep. You know, like, it's like just like greasy, and you're just like, oh, I'm going to wake up hating myself tomorrow.
Just a one word answer would have been fine.
Challah. Right. Cameron, let me ask you this. Right now, you're looking good.
Thank
lost
you.
A lot of. I'm serious. You
Thank
look
you.
Really good.
I lost 70 pounds.
Do you still have a game? When was the last time you played some ball?
No.
You no.
I don't. I don't. Last year, now granted, this. I don't think this has anything to do with my performance because it was just shooting.
Yeah.
And
you didn't play much defense.
No, I never did.
Or didn't pass.
No. Well, again, why would I pass to someone else when I can make the basket? Anyway, so last year at the Sweet 16, the Kentucky High School Basketball Tournament, they had various former Kentucky high school basketball players come out on the court and try to duplicate shots or try to make shots and win kids, I don't know, scholarships or something. And I missed so bad. I was shooting a free throw and missed so badly. They gave me like 3 tries, and all 3 tries, I literally hammered the ball against the backboard from the free throw line. So I've not played a competitive game that wasn't like in a league or anything in probably 10 years. Maybe I played pickup once or twice in the last 5. It's just, I love the game, but in 1998, I was done, and I've not felt the need or the desire, the want to get back into playing, even on a semi-competitive level, like in leagues or anything. I just, I don't desire to do that.
5 years ago, you did my show.
Yep.
And I told you it went from me asking you to lunch. It got very weird real quick.
No, it did.
Your first impression of me, because I remember where I met you.
Yep.
At this, what's your True, let's be honest. Let's talk real talk. First impression of me when I came to Dick Gabriel's show Friday night at around 5:58 p.m. Yeah. I'm knocking on the door.
I remember these random facts.
Well,
it was a 6 o'clock show. You're exactly right, so that's fair.
Nailed it.
Okay, first impression. You're like me in that you talk too fast.
Mm-hmm.
You had a weird accent, which I imagine I did to you.
Yeah.
And
you hugged me, which is weird. Like instead of shaking hands,
that's me. I know. I get for a lot of people that's weird, but that's just me. I mean, I started sending, you know, the emoji on the iPhone, the little kissy face with the heart.
Yeah,
I started sending that to everybody about a month ago. If I like you, I'm sending you the kissy face. I don't know if you've got one.
Don't send me that.
Yeah, I haven't got one.
Again,
no one has.
It's not been confirmed that you're in my
kissy face.
So anyway,
Mr. Steel, yo, girl.
And then Mike, there are certain things in your life that I'm very proud that you do. And I remember thinking a whole lot about that. And I think that's one thing. You were from New York. You were different. You loved Kentucky. You had told me that, you know, I was your favorite player.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that actually, when people tell me that, I'm honored. I'm always appreciative. Mm-hmm. But
it kind of means that makes things weird. And for some reason with you, it never did. It was just like, I think I loved your story so much about how you became a Kentucky fan that I'm like, I don't know, this guy's all right. This guy's cool.
So. Well, it's always funny. And Jen, Simba, I never told you guys a story. So I never met Cam. And I'm like, I text him like, hey, no. I want to come to Kentucky.
Right. Well, we had done the podcast. Yeah, we had spoken on the phone.
Yeah. We
never met in person.
And I'm like, oh, if I come to Kentucky, do you want to have like lunch? I made things like really weird. Yeah, next, I'm like,
Mike's trying to go to Keeneland in May. We get it.
Yeah.
Oh, Mike, why are you trying to date Cam?
Dude, I was like, it was like a Tinder date. No, I'm like, yo, we should meet up.
Swipe right.
My understanding, it was nothing like a Tinder date.
So, but here's the weirdest
part. Can you wear a pink shirt?
Sorry. I'm at Malone's. Right, I'm wearing a pink shirt.
Cameron, in 1998. Yes. Anyway.
Honestly, it was never weird for me. You may have felt weird asking me to lunch.
Yeah, that's weird.
At no point did I think it was weird.
No, so I didn't think...
Because I was excited. Because, look, you and I got
along... Did you go on a lot of Tinder dates, Cam?
No. Damn you it. And I got along on the podcast. And then we tweeted back and forth a lot about during games and stuff. And I remember having talking you off the ledge a few times, even back then.
Yeah.
Over some losses.
I'll tell you a great line you said. And I'm on Dick Gabriel's show. And I thought I was doing well. And Dick Gabriel's like, oh, I'm having a really great time with you. And Cameron's like, you know what's kind of funny? Dick, I never met him. I didn't know if he was going to be like a bad person,
you could have been a sociopath. You could have. I had no idea.
Yeah.
But
you know what? Listen.
We lucked out.
We knew it was 50 minutes. I still have a couple more questions, all like right. Just kicking it.
Go
on. I'm going to tell Simba and Jen a great story. Jen.
You're listening.
So, I'm on.
Get her headsets on.
I'm on Cam's show, and I hope he doesn't listen because he, whatever, but whatever. So I do Cam's show, and some, you know, people called in and said, hey, this guy's like from New York.
They didn't call in my show.
No, he called Curtis. Show. No, he called Curtis. Oh, yeah, he called Dick's show.
Dick's like, show is when we took
the course. Have a gift for this kid, Mike.
Oh, that's right.
So I'm like, oh, okay, that's awesome. So,
by the way, people are still sending you gifts.
Yeah, I know. Look at I collect zero memorabilia. I have a...
Mike.
I have a ball.
I'm looking at Yankee figurines, a Kentucky signed basketball.
Don't forget the Maker's pictures. Mark bottle.
Let's see. Here are three seats from Yankee Stadium, the old one.
A Calipari Maker's
what
Mark.
What about this is not collecting memorabilia?
A John Calipari ball from to Mike personally.
There you go. To Mike personally.
Yeah, but here's the best. It is to Mike.
Because he knows Mike's a fossil.
But here's the best part. So right there, Jen. Jen, right next to you.
Just say to Michael. Yeah, I can vouch for
Jen,
that.
Jen, right there. You see right there?
Uh-huh.
It's a piece of floor from the 1990s. No, in front of you. It's a piece of floor from 1996. So.
Mike.
This guy calls a show and he gives me this piece of floor. Okay, but here's the best part of the story. He gives me a piece of floor. I'm like,
Cam,
amazing.
You played on my floor?
Is this when we're walking out?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So now,
weird.
Jen, I get this.
Weird. I mean, was it? It was cool, but
it was great.
It was a little nerve wracking.
Yeah,
I
get this piece of floor. I'm like, oh my god, this is amazing. This guy gave me a piece of floor from the 1996 championship game, and this is my first Kentucky game. I slept outside for this UMass game. This is the first game I've ever attended in my life. It means so much to me.
You're over in the Meadowlands.
I get the floor. I'm like, oh my god. The next day, I do Cameron's show. I'm like, this is awesome. And I'm leaving the studio, and there's like a dude. Like,
it's still Dick's show.
It's right.
At night. That's what made
it was
it
Dick's
weird.
Show. It was late, right, Simba? And there's like a van, and like the parking lot of the studio is like three people,
and no lights.
No lights, and there's a van. I'm like, oh, dude, that van's kind
of
shady.
Eh.
And it's
kind
of like
shady vans outside.
And all of a sudden, a dude's walking up, and I'm getting nervous. I'm like,
"But
this dude's about to roll me." I'm like, "I'm about to throw down," because this dude's like, and all I hear is Mike. I'm like, "Now, Simba, I get in like combat stance. Like, dude, you ready to roll?"
It was weird.
So it was like, I'm like, "Yo, what's good?" I tried to go, like, but it was, instead, if it was him, like, "Oh yes," I'm like, "Yo, what's good?" I tried to go tough. He's like, "Come here."
He tried to go to New York.
I'm Joel. I'm like, yo,
Kentucky Joel.
He did not try to go tough, as a matter of fact.
So I'm like, Joel. Now meanwhile, I'm like, I'm dead. I die tonight in Lexington.
By the way, we're
all places, Simba. You died, though.
Yeah. I'd be okay
all the way from New York.
Yeah.
You died like Bronx.
Simba, can I point something out about how he tells the story? He's acting like he's out there by himself. No, there's four of us around him, and he's only concerned about his
they
life.
They did a slow walk back, because now this guy walks over to me. He hands me another piece of wood.
Yeah.
I'm like, sir, thank you.
Yeah, huh?
He tried to lure me into his van.
No, he didn't.
He sure did.
Stop it.
He had an ice cream cone.
No, he didn't.
Simba, tell a story
and
about
take
that.
Take you into, like, his, like, cabin, like, in the middle
of nowhere.
It was
Cameron's timber. Now, Simba, tell him about the piece of wood. Tell him what we hung out.
Oh, yeah. So, it's weird, though. Like, it's kind of, like, similar. Like, Mike, I don't know how you just meet, like, it's funny how, like, your friendships always happen,
We were talking about that tonight at dinner,
I'd met Mike over at Dempsey's on, like, after a game.
Mm-hmm. Where all the UK fans hang
out. Yeah, it's actually when I met you.
Yep.
The first time
as well. NYC UK alumni?
Yeah. Yes. And, the next, we're drinking, I'm drinking KBB.
Were you drinking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. People, I think that's out there. But anyways, Mike and I just, like, connect, and I'm with my buddy Travis, and we're like, dude, this guy Mike is cool. He is. We're like, he's the most New York. At that point, I was like, this guy is the most New Yorker guy that I've ever met. Because I'd only been here for, like, a year at that point, right? And I'm like, wow. And he's like, legit, tatted up, all this stuff. And I don't talk to Mike we exchanged numbers. We actually did exchange numbers that night. We're like, let's hang out. And then we didn't talk to each other. We just, like, connected on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would see his tweets. He'll see my tweets.
So you exchanged numbers and he never called?
No, neither did I. So, like, I mean, like, it goes two ways.
So you're both playing hard to get.
But about 4 months in, and I'm very, like, political in, like, on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's, like, with American politics or, like, African affairs, I'm very, like, I'm just very vocal as, like, an individual. And Mike just kept on seeing, like, all these, like, Zimbabwean posts. And he would occasionally like them. And then one day he just, like, wrote me a message on Twitter and was like, hey, I'm really thinking about, like, going to visit to Africa. Would you be interested in, like, an Africa trip? And I was like, yeah, dude. Like, he was actually, like, he's actually what Mike said. He was like, I really want to go with somebody who's familiar with, like, the territory.
Obviously.
Because I'm afraid of going by myself. And I was like, wow, this guy is, like, afraid of, like, going to Africa?
Yeah, there are lions there, Simba. Have you not seen the documentaries?
But anyways, so I meet up with Mike the first time, actually, on my at Barclays.
Yeah, it was actually the NBA draft.
Yeah, NBA draft.
And I'm there. It's actually a funny story. I told him on Cameron's show. I actually stalked Calipari there. Mm-hmm. Simba comes outside. I meet Simba. He goes, hey, Mike. I've seen Simba one time. Yeah. I said, let's meet at a boat in the city.
Yeah.
The frying pan. Someplace
safe for both of us.
Yeah, let's meet there. And then we hung out. I'm like, Simba, I have a little gift for you.
Yeah,
come over my house. And what did I give you, Simba?
Yeah, and he gave me a floor of the 96 championship game.
That originally came from Joel.
That originally
Joel gave me two. Now, Simba,
came from Joel's design. Just
here's,
like,
what we're going to do. We're going to do two more things because we're doing 57 minutes. Everyone has to go home. We have a huge dinner tomorrow night.
You got a hard out at 1 hour?
No, I have no hard out ever.
That's what I thought.
That's what she said. Cameron, favorite Seinfeld episode, because you and I are Seinfeld fanatics.
I already got it.
What?
I know.
I'm asking you, Cameron.
But I don't have to think about this one.
Okay, favorite episode.
Now I'm struggling to come up with the actual title of the episode.
Just give me the episode.
The Merv Griffin.
Wow.
Yeah. That, I mean, it's not even debatable for me.
It's actually my favorite, hands down.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Hands down, the best one when he goes.
Kramer and Newman at another level. I mean, and all four of them sitting in the set, and just the conversation is so absurd.
When Kramer goes, two pets. That might not be.
It's just those little passive
and they drug, like, Jerry's girlfriend with the turkey.
Oh, was that the same? That was.
Of course, they brought her on stage.
That's right. The tryptophan. What's that drug that causes people?
And they both
tryptophan.
They both knew
the
answer.
So I've heard.
Okay. Jen and Sim are getting one last question ready.
All right.
Steve Masiello's coming to my show Monday.
So he says.
Yeah, that flaker. Give me a good Masiello story I'm going to say to him on the show. I want a good one. Don't give me the whole, like, Steve one time got. Give me a good Masiello story. I'm going to bring up randomly.
Well, okay. So, as far as what you need to ask him about, and I'll give you my favorite. It's not a story that happened one time because it happened several times. But it was kind of our thing during that part of the season I mentioned earlier when we lost to Ole Miss. We had the 6 a.m. practices and so on and so forth. But you need to ask him about Jamal McGlure crashing his Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Okay, I'm writing
this. Ask him about his various nicknames, specifically Misdemeanor. Ask him what cool duty means. See if he'll admit to that.
You can keep talking.
Cool, I know. Well, you said hold on. So ask him what cool duty means. See if he'll admit that he knows what that means. You can ask him about me wearing his FUBU jeans to class every other day.
I'll never ask about a FUBU question, so don't worry about that.
All right, fair enough.
I can ask that one.
Simba can.
It's culturally appropriate.
That's for right. Me. Yes, it would be. Because it was for you and by you. All
right. So, Cam, hold on. What we always do before they ask the last question.
Yes.
Before we do the last question, what we always do is this. I always ask the coolest person. Your answer was horrendous. What we're going to do is, I know you don't drink.
You didn't ask me coolest person. Oh, in the phone?
Yeah, in the phone. Yeah. And your answer still looked.
Oh. I don't even remember who I said.
You said Billy Donovan. Then you scrolled. You said Jen Stevenson, Simba.
No, I'm not in his phone, so he can't say me.
Jen, so you think.
Thanks for my last name to all your podcast listeners. You think,
Jen. Oh, I put government out there. You know what bothers me? He knows like Antoine Walker, Tony Dell. Those are big names.
And Jen Stevenson.
Jen, what's your social security number?
But Simba, he goes, they're not cool to me. Okay.
No, I mean, they're not. It's not. They're not interesting to me.
Now, Simba, I mean.
I spent 4 years with those guys.
Cameron, I know you don't drink.
Yeah.
And we respect that. What we're going to do is we're going to set up a little table in my studio apartment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you and Simba, I have two ping pong balls in my hand. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, so that's proof.
Let's play some flip cup. Who's the best at flip cup?
No, well, Jen, we all know Jen. You're a world.
What?
Jen's.
I'm the queen of flip cup.
Thanks. Cup. Our dad's going to be really proud. You and
my dad doesn't
Simba,
listen to podcasts.
Simba, you and Cameron are going to shoot right now.
He doesn't know how to use iTunes.
Simba, you ready? I'm going to pause this thing. I'm going to set up the thing, and you and Cameron are going to shoot now. I'm going to give play by play while you guys shoot. Some beer pong. But Cameron's going to do water.
This is going to be great
podcast. All right, so I'm doing beer.
And I'm pausing it. Hold on. I was setting up now the beer pong finale. Cameron has the best idea. Yeah, if Cameron hits, Simba drinks the beer.
If Simba hits, Simba drinks the beer.
But we're going to. Jen Stevenson is giving play by play now.
Getting my last name right. Around, man. They're going to add me on Facebook. And,
all right, add her on Facebook and Twitter.
Twitter. Right.
Jen is
Instagram.
About,
Jen I'm on is, that gram.
Jen is about to give play by play. Go, Jen. And all number right. 21, go, Jen.
All right, Simba shooting first. Simba shoots. He misses. Oh, it's an air ball.
Can I go either cup or
can
I go my
cup? Yeah, Cam, either cup. All right, Cameron Mills sets up, shoots, misses. Also an air ball.
We're throwing it back for him.
They're both a little rusty.
They're actually a little embarrassing right
little,
now, Jen.
A little embarrassing, yeah. Simba.
All right, go ahead, Simba.
Sets up, shoots.
Oh!
Brick. Cam shoots. Air ball.
Now Cameron.
Cam, are you sure you hit that shot against Duke?
Now, Cameron, let me ask you a question, Cameron. No, well, first of all, Simba shoots. Have you ever played this game back in the dorms in Kentucky?
No.
Simba, have you played this ever?
Simba's played this a time or two. Look at
Simba's
him.
Simba's been ranked
Look
nationally.
At Look at him. He's number 10 on the beer pong list.
Go ahead. All right. Go.
All right, Simba, shoots. Sets up, shoots.
Oh, hits the
rim.
Oh,
my God, this is embarrassing. Oh, my God. Mike, do I need to go take place for them?
You know what's great? Like, I don't think this is good podcasting, but hold on. I'm going to let Jen and Simba, I'm going to let Simba shoot and Cameron shoot and Jen subbing in.
I'm going to make both these cups.
Go, Simba. Just hit one, Simba.
Air ball, I'm calling it.
Oh, he hits the rim.
Brick. Simba. All right, Cam, you got to make it in one of these two cups. Yeah.
Those two right there.
Yes.
One of these two. They're right in front of me. No,
oh
missed
my.
It.
He's missed by a lot. Do we
missed
sub
it.
Jen in or not yet? Jen,
not yet. Let him have one more chance.
All right. This is embarrassing. Jen, it's four
shots
already.
You know flip cups my game.
Jen, you're an all-star everywhere, Jen. This
that's
is
true,
four
that's
in
true.
A row. This is embarrassing.
Simba's not even shooting for his cup.
Oh my
Lord.
Here we go.
I wish everyone could see this right now. It's embarrassing.
Here we're going to do. We're going to give
Julia, you're going to podcast this video?
We're
going to
give this two more shots because Julia, my beautiful girlfriend, is taping this. This is embarrassing.
This is so embarrassing.
All right, two more shots each and then this game's over. Go.
No, then I'm taking over.
All right, go, Cameron. All right,
Simba's up.
Here we go. Simba.
Gentleman's rule.
Simba pulls up and Simba shoots and he. Oh,
misses.
Boy. Oh, boy. And Cameron
Cam
shoots.
Misses.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
here we go. This is it. This is the last two shots.
You know, guys, I'm embarrassed to broadcast this right now.
Jen, I want to walk out and leave the
I want to walk out. You live here. You can't walk out.
I'm leaving this.
All right.
This is the last two shots, and then I'm stopping the podcast. All right, you go. Someone go first, because we're about to stop the podcast.
The shot that was hit across the
Way missed. And Cameron missed it, and that's it.
I would just like to state for the record, Cameron Mills and Simba, terrible at beer pong. Terrible. None of them made a shot. Come on.
Cameron Mills and Simba, like Madonna. One word, first name.
Oh, Simba doesn't need a last name. Kagoro, but, you know.
Don't give up my last name.
Oh, my last name's all over this podcast, so you're up.
So is mine.
Yeah, but come on, man.
So we're saying goodbye? Is that what we're doing?
We're going to say goodbye.
All right. You're just going to mess with the dolls?
After an hour and 5 minutes and horrendous beer pong shooting by Simmer and Cameron.
And terrible questions, too.
But great questions by Jennifer.
This was amazing.
We're about to say goodbye, so we can go around the room. Jennifer?
Goodbye.
Simba, end it.
That's all I asked for.
You asked for a goodbye.
For somebody who went to a Christian school, my podcast skills were like off the chain. I don't care what these guys are saying.
Did you say podcast skills are off the chain?
No, I've met my beer pong skills.
Oh, your beer pong, you're right.
My beer pong skills.
Yeah.
Not my podcast skills. My beer pong skills. Okay. Somebody should have cut me off like 3 beers ago.
Yeah, we thought so
too. And Cameron Mills?
Love you. Thank you for doing this, man.
Anyway.
Good to see you again.
We're going to end this. 5 years ago to the day we did the show.
Oh, my gosh.
Cam, how does this song make you feel? It's okay if you're shedding a tear. I think I see it.
Just told Cameron.
Are your eyes a little moist?
What song is this? Oh, now I hear it.
The two of us can't do. You don't know Drake, but you know this.
Hey, thanks for coming on, Cameron.
Thank you, bud. Love
you. Thank you, Cam.